This meeting is now being recorded.
Hi everyone, and welcome to our third meeting on the SON AC accountability. Unfortunately, Cheryl cannot, I don't think she can make it today, but I'm going to go through with you, and Steve and I are going to go through, and yes, Cheryl is joining. So we are going to go through the agenda items and have a discussion. So in our second meeting, we had a lively discussion about the mutual accountability roundtable, and we compiled those comments and made a Google Doc and also a PDF, which we shared with you at on our mailing list. Those comments also include the what we should focus on, and Steve's presentation, and a couple of other points. And there were a couple of things that were raised in the last call, which you can see them in the agenda item. I'm going to ask Steve, are you there?
Yes. Yes, Marzi.
Yeah, okay, great. So if you want to add anything, and then we can just go through the problem statement, like agenda number 4.
Sure, Farzi. It's Steve Del Bianco, and as we promised on our last call, the rapporteurs put our heads together to try to summarize the work of our first two phone calls, and that included the work of the discussion we began in Helsinki on the Sunday meeting. And that document was what we circulated a couple of days ago. The first 4 pages try to summarize what was charged to us in recommendation 12, recommendation 9, and remembering as well that the bylaws themselves reflected that, but so did recommendation 10. So it was surprising to me that 3 of the CCWG recommendations specifically looked at SOAC accountability. It wasn't just in the Workstream 2. The 3 of them did. And the way in which Workstream 2 frames the problem for us is to really take a hard look at how effective an SONAC is at its mission. And the effectiveness problem is that the word effectiveness is not defined on these organizational reviews. So I suggested on page 3 of the document that one of the things we ought to consider is whether we define what effectiveness is for the context of, is an SO and an AC effective at representing the interests of whatever target group that SO or AC is intended to represent. And I mentioned 2 aspects of that, which was the outreach of an SOAC, and I think that is about measuring how many or how well that SONAC members represent the global community that they're supposed to target. And another was the representation. And in that respect, you look at decisions that are made by an SONAC and ask whether those decisions represent the interests of the target group. Very difficult for us to measure from some global perspective whether everyone in, say, the GNSO, all their interests were represented by a GNSO council decision. I don't understand how we could second-guess those decisions. And therefore, I ended up concluding in the document that we need to focus very hard on the outreach aspects. And in that regard, look at results. And if results are not easily measured or come up short, we'll have to look at the efforts as well. And then the last 3 pages of that document summarize, as far as he just indicated, they summarized Willie Curry's mutual accountability roundtable, and then Farzi was good enough to put in almost 2 full pages of a discussion that occurred on our last call. I think the agenda today indicates we don't need to burn a lot of time rehashing comments that were made on that. If any of you feel as if we missed some of the comments that you made on the first 2 calls, the Google Doc that we circulated is available for all to edit. So I do hope that you can insert your edits to that document, and we wouldn't have had to maybe spend an inordinate amount of time on this call reviewing all of that. So that would be my summary of our problem statement, is to try to understand what effectiveness is in terms of an SONAC being representative and accountable to the target group that was set up. Thank you, Farzi. Over to Cheryl. Farzi, back to you then. I don't hear Cheryl.
Hi, Steve. Sorry, it took a while for them to get me off mute. I'm Cheryl Langton Hall for the Transcript Record. Firstly, an apology to everyone for my lack of interaction since your Thursday, my Friday, after this call. I had a minor surgical procedure, very routine, done on my Friday, your Thursday, and I am actually, unfortunately, had complications on Tuesday, so I'm in hospital at the moment and have been for several days. So sorry about the background noise. There are other patients here. To answer Cavus's question, first of all, Cavus, I can assure you when I say you are in the queue, it means that you will be the first person, if no other has their hand up, and I see nobody else in there with a hand up, to raise the points that you've put in chat. As you know, the co-chairs and me in particular do want to make sure that we are fair and make sure we do not obstruct or make anybody's life difficult. We recognise that you have concerns about the document that was circulated. We recognise you have significant contributions that you made to the document. As Steve said, we would have hoped that such contributions would have come into the Google document, but we will, if it hasn't already been done, I say I've been busy bleeding as opposed to reading, so I don't know if your comments have been included or not, but Steve will be giving you reasonable airtime along with everyone else to air your views. But if you note the agenda, ladies and gentlemen, we realised out of last week's call that a full frank and fearless discussion on the MAR, the Mutual Accountability Roundtable, whilst it will be on our agenda at some stage, will certainly is a little bit ahead of the game to even have a good discussion to date. We will continue to work on it as one option because it was mentioned in our mandate, and we'll do that both online and in our meetings and our lists. So that's it from me. If you'll all be self-controlled in repetition and recognise that we will stop our meetings on time regardless of who's speaking, and that includes me, that's going to make all our lives very much easier. So I'm going to hand over to Farzi now, and I do hope that you will forgive me for being predominantly mute for the rest of this call. Thank you.
Thank you, Cheryl. Farzana Baghdi speaking. So as Steve laid out the problem statement that we want to discuss, I'm going to, in our last call, we members did actually ask for clarifying concepts, which was who are the accountable actors. And I thought it would be a good idea within the group to discuss this, and so we have three scenarios in place. One scenario is that the SO and ACs are accountable to their stakeholder group. The second scenario is that they're accountable also to other SO and ACs. And then also they are accountable to the public global Internet users. So we need to consider these three scenarios and then see which actors fit in these scenarios, and also consider which tools we use for holding them accountable. Now, So I will stop there if anyone wants to comment or discuss. Yes.
Hey, Farzi, Steve DelBianco. On page 2 of our summary document, we recounted how some of the stress tests, in particular 4 of them that were suggested by Secretary Strickland, took a look at whether AC and SO had been captured internally by a subset of its members who had had a narrower interest than the broad interest of the stakeholders that AC or SO was supposed to represent, and also the notion of excluding entrants. And those stress tests, they really fit nicely with scenario 1 in the sense that an SO and AC, which are created in ICANN's bylaws, are accountable to the stakeholder group that the bylaws say that they represent. So scenario 1 fits that rather well and would suggest that the AC and SO, as they come together within ICANN and make decisions about policy, that they are accountable to the stakeholder group that the bylaws said that they were to represent. So I think that fits rather well. With regard to scenario 2 and scenario 3, as laid out in the agenda, I fail to see how an AC and SO is actually accountable to other SOs and ACs, and nor did I see that in recommendations 9, 10, and 12 from the CCWG plan. And I don't think that an SO and AC is accountable to the global public internet users. Instead, it's accountable to the global set of stakeholders that SO or AC was created to represent within the mission, that is, that ICANN has, since that SO and AC only exists for the purpose of fulfilling ICANN's mission. I realize that some SOs and ACs have broader purposes and broader activities outside of ICANN. John Kern and others have been very clear on that, and I think that was helpful for me to understand that. So we don't wish to interfere with that at all. This is only within the ICANN context. So I would suggest that scenario 1 makes sense, and I don't support the notion of scenario 2 or 3. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve, for the comments. Anyone else has any? Okay, Kavus, please.
Yes, do you hear me, please? Hello? Do you
yes,
hear
we
me?
Can.
Yes, we can hear you.
Yes. I have sent you a substantial message raising certain questions of importance. We need to know how we could implement that SOX is accountable to SOY or ACZ. In what sense to be accountable? How you can make GNSO accountable to GAC? In what sense they are accountable? And how you implement that accountability? And if the one who should be accountable does not respect that need for accountability, what you do? You escalate the matter, you take IRP, and what to do? All of these mentioned very detailed in my 1.5-page document that I request you to put it on the screen. And also, I raise another important point, a specific situation of GAC. GAC cannot be accountable to any SO and AC for its specific construction. We, representative of GAC, representing our own government, we are only accountable to our government. Individually and collectively, we are not accountable to any other government that is against in the law of the treaty and international treaty, that no government is subordinated under any other government. So it is a very difficult situation to treat the GAC case. And then coming to the lower stage, I mentioned in my email, how the contracting party of GNSO would be accountable to the non-contracting party, how the registrar would be accountable to registries or registry to registrar. There are so many detailed things that it is difficult to identify, it is difficult to discuss, it is difficult to have rules, and much more difficult to implement unless you have another new bylaw about the accountability. So the whole idea, even if three times repeated in our CCWG1, that idea coming from one or two persons and other people didn't make any comments, and it came through like this. I have no problem with that, but it is not implementable and it doesn't work. And I don't think that the chair of any SOAC have any authority to get together and to speak on behalf of their own constituencies and held them responsible or held other responsible. They are just chair unless they have given a written mandate by their constituencies. So the whole issue is in question. Please read my mail, very detailed, and I thank you very much.
Thank you, Cobbs. That was very helpful. We have tried to capture your comments in the chat, and also I listened to the recording and when we made the report. We also added them, and I'm going to add what you said on the mailing list, the email that you sent. I'm going to add that also, Jamira. Back to our three scenarios. I wanted to get more feedback from our group, what they think about these scenarios, which one should apply, which one should not apply, and why. Anyone would like to make a comment? Kavus, your hand is up. Is that an old hand?
I'm sorry, old hand, yes.
That's okay. Steve?
Hey, thank you, Farzi. I wanted to clarify one thing. I don't support accountable to other SOs and ACs and accountable to the global public internet users. But I do want to acknowledge that in Willie's suggestion of mutual accountability roundtable, I don't think accountability makes much sense there. But part of what Willie's document laid out was that when a mutual accountability roundtable came together, and you'll see this on page 4 of our document, where each SO and AC gives an account of what worked and what didn't in the year under the review, followed by a discussion on how to improve matters of performance, and that's a learning space for improvement. And I get that. So sharing best practices, what worked and didn't work, is completely appropriate for the ACs and SOs to do with some regularity. And we would certainly learn from that. I'd love to learn more about how the CCNSO works and compare that to the way the GNSO works. But that is not the same thing as being accountable to each other. And to Cavusa's point, if the GNSO tries to learn what works and doesn't work in the GAC, it doesn't mean that the GAC is accountable to the GNSO. So in some regards, it's unfortunate that Willie chose the title Mutual Accountability Roundtable, because I think it's gotten a number of folks spun up that there's this cross AC and SO accountability. But as I read what Willie has in the document, and this is on page 4, he just submitted it to us in May of 2015 and went through it on the last call. There isn't really an accountability to each other. It's really just a sharing of what worked and didn't work. So I think in that regard, it makes sense, but it's not truly accountability. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. Sebastian.
Thank you very much, Fadi. I hope that you can hear me well.
We do.
Okay, thank you. I guess you, Fadi, Steve, and some other are very ahead of my thinking about that. But I even if I will say something who may sound in disagreement with what was just said, it's just my feeling, and I didn't study that in too much detail yet. But we have organized ICANN with a new set of bylaw and with this accountability, with this enhanced global the board must be accountable to us, the full community. And I don't see how we can't have accountability, or whatever word you want to use, but something between us, between all the SO and all the AC. We need to, for example, to be sure that when rules are set up in one constituency, SOACs, they are followed. I know that it can be done within the SO and within the AC, but I guess it's also important for the other to know it's going well and in the right direction. It's why I really think that this mutual accountable whatever system we want to put in place is important. It's important because we are now, as a group of SONAC, part of the decision making, not just as 1 + 1 + 1, but all together. And we need to be sure about the other. Not to say that we have to just to follow if something is going wrong, but also if something is going well, it could be useful for the others. And it's both side of the coin, I think, we need to discuss. And sorry if it's not so clear. It's for some it may be middle of the night, but it's just very early in the morning for me, and maybe my brain is not yet working well, and maybe it's not never working well, but that's okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sebastian. It was clear. So I can see Kavus's hand up. Kavus?
Yes. Now the situation is slightly explained by Steve differently. I don't have any difficulty to have a round table discussion, a round table exchange of view, but not round table mutual accountability. Accountability has a very specific legal meaning everywhere, in every organization, inside and outside the ICANN, and mutual also. If you replace mutual accountability by some other things, as Steve mentioned, if I correctly understood, that at the end of each year or at some time, chairs of the SOAC, no doubt with discussions already taken in their group, get together and review the situations and find shortcoming, some of the things that need improvement in order to increase the productivity, efficiency, or take any other action or take any steps. I have no difficulty at all. But not call them mutual accountability. Accountability is a very, very strong, heavy, and legally weighted term. Thank you.
Thank you, Kavus. So, yes, yes, thank you, Steve, for raising the issue of the name of the mutual accountability, because it was also raised in the previous meeting that we had with the group that it might be better not to call it mutual accountability, because also some of the group members raised concerns that why should like each SO and NAC take each other into account, and this round table might become a name shaming space. So So I got, let's just put the accountable, the MIR aside for the moment. And I want to know if we have any comments or questions on the scenarios. Do you have any ideas on these three scenarios? As Steve laid out, he believes that the scenario one applies to our group and to our mandate, and we should work on. Anyone else has any comments on that? If you don't, I will move to the next agenda item. Okay. Sebastian.
Yes, thank you very much. I guess from what I've tried to explain, I really think that this group must be in charge of something cross community. We can evaluate something inside each of our group, but what we do as a full, I would say, group or community or committee or whatever name we want to give, how we are accountable, We work to have the board accountable, and now we are working on us to be accountable. And to accountable to whom? We can say we can be accountable to the board, but we can also say we need to be accountable to the other participant of this full group. And I really think that it's not just the first scenario. We need at least to look to the second one. The third one, it's an interesting concept, my feeling it's broader than work stream two. It's that is ICANN accountable to the world, I hope that when we have the accountability of the board, the accountability of HSO and AC, and some sort of accountability between the SO and AC, we will have an organization well fit to be accountable to the world. Thank you.
Thank you, Sebastian. So I can see from the chat that Jordan does not support getting too hung up on who should SO and AC be accountable to. We noted that point. If there are no comments, I'm going to go to the next agenda item, which is I should also raise this point that in our previous meeting, some of the group members stated that MAR should not be discussed at this stage because we need to first lay out the problem and then think about the mechanisms. That's why we had the problem statement up there today in our agenda item. And I think the problem is clear. Some were not clear on whether they should be, SO and AC should be accountable to each other or the global public users, internet users. So with that, I am going to go to the next agenda item, which is our work plan, and I think we could suggest that.
Before you jump to the next agenda item, I probably butchered this when I said it earlier, but I did spend a great deal of time in the first two pages of the document that we circulated trying to answer your challenge of what problem are we solving. And the way I did it was to look back at the three recommendations from CCWG that specifically pointed out aspects of SOAC accountability that we were supposed to look at in Workstream 2. Some of them arose from those stress tests on internal capture. Some of them talked about excluding new entrants who try to get into an AC or SO. And one recommendation specifically points us to the ATRT, And finally, one recommendation specifically points us to something Rinalia brings up every time, which are these periodic organizational reviews that the bylaws have long required. Those are those reviews of the GNSO that occur every 3 to 4 years, or the ALAC. So the problem statement for us is the easiest part of our project. It's all already written down because hundreds of us spent over 2 years on the recommendations of CCWG. So I feel as if people are not spending enough time just reading the work that's already been done. And I would just invite you to read pages 1 and 2 of that first draft document. All they do is lay out the charter for this group and the problem statement we're supposed to solve. If we lock that down, it'll be so much easier for us to fulfill what our charter is. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. That was a very nice segue to the next agenda item, because the next agenda item is, if we have some issue specific tracks, it would make us more focused we are working on, and also capture the comments of the group and come to conclusions easier. So I'm thinking perhaps we can have different tracks based on different issues that we are tackling here. And so one track could be the problem statement. So if anyone has a question about that, they can go and read on that, so they can be in separate documents. And it could be in one document, but separate topics. And so for example, we could also look at the tools to solve the problems. That can be another track. So I wanted to get some comments on this, whether this is a good approach to continue our discussion on the SOACA accountability. We have to come up, various issues and discuss them among ourselves. And some of these issues have already been dealt with. So, for example, the problem statement is in the first two pages of the Google Deck that we shared with you, and we can go to other issues and deal with them. Anyone has any comment on that? Is this a good approach? Yes, Kavus, please.
If, Farzana, if you give it another name rather than mutual accountability, and if you further elaborate that, the real purpose of that, and then connect that in one way to other to the forum, perhaps with a pre-forum roundtable discussion or exchange of views and what they have to do, in a way that on one hand identify problems, difficulties among various partners and so on and so forth, and the other hand facilitate discussions at the forum and so on and so forth, if possible, it could work. My difficulty is that first we need to be sure that something has a meaning and applicability, and second, criteria to apply that. And third, if it is not applied, what we can do. This is the difficulty. I don't want that this accountability goes to some sort of escalation and so on and so forth between A and B, whether A would be one person or whether it would be a community. So the whole idea should be reviewed to see whether the idea that we had now is a stand after all these things we have done, or we need to review it and give it a new name, a new task, a new course of actions, which is practicable, implementable, and workable. Thank you.
Uh,
Hello, this is...
Yeah, thank you, Carl. Those were very useful comments. And so for our next...
this is Shil.
I did not
Shil.
Get any
like
feedback on... yes. So, yes. So, Brenda, can we... so if we are done with that, then we can just go to discuss the effectiveness, which was in our document. Brenda, can you upload the Google Doc, please?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, hello.
Yes, I'd like to stay
Hi,
on the
can
queue.
You? I'm sorry, I don't see any hands up. I'm sorry if
I'm on audio only, sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. Yeah, go ahead, Sean.
Okay. Thank you. I think Steve made some points about how we could actually approach this. When Caruso was saying things about let's redo this, let's start over, I think we need to stay focused on what the objectives are, which is actually from the CCWG proposal. So let's look at each of the objectives. We actually, there are line items that we can actually say, okay, under this objective, which is the problem statement, how do we address this? Under the next objective, which is the problem statement, how do we address it? I think we should go by that and not start looking for other things that are not probably part of the objective. I don't know what you're presenting on the chat on the AC, but I think going in the route of what we already know as the issue and then addressing that before we then go to what is not the issue. Maybe a better approach. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Sean. So we can move on to talk about effectiveness. Steve, go ahead.
Hey, thank you, Farzi. So picking up on your idea of some tracks that we can follow, again, the recommendations made it clear that one of the tracks was to evaluate the Mutual Accountability Roundtable. And we've already done some work on that track. We're starting to mature that a bit. Let's set that aside for now. A couple of other tracks, if you guys recall, our charter specifically asks us to assess whether the IRP, independent review process, should be applicable to SO and AC activities. That's going to be an interesting one. We haven't begun any work on that, and I know it's a little late on this call to start that from scratch. And there are two other tracks that I laid out on page 3 of the Google Doc. So if you scroll to page 3 under effectiveness, and I know I heard Farzi mention effectiveness a few times, I think that our charter makes it clear that the word effectiveness is already in the ICANN bylaws, because effectiveness is what the organizational reviews look at. And we don't define what the word effective is. And so we have an opportunity to see if we can put some meat on the bones to say that the effectiveness of an AC and SO can be assessed by the following ways. And I have proposed two. They're not the only two, but they are two ways. And one is outreach, and then the representational nature of the decisions that they reach. And that's the two little paragraphs that are on page 3. We discussed this briefly in Helsinki and on our very first call, and I heard quite a bit of pushback on the idea of only looking at effort, and I didn't mean to imply it was effort alone, but I tried to lay it out here. Alan and others said, you know, try to find results to show that outreach has been effective, because we have members of an AC and SO that demonstrate coverage of the target community across the world. And I'm suggesting that if those results come up short of true representation in a statistical analysis way, then begin to look at the level of effort, because it's possible that that AC and S, that SO or AC didn't work hard enough at the marketing and recruiting that outreach requires, or that it was not open and accessible when a new entrant tried to join, which may not even be exclusionary activity. It might just be that our vocabulary and the acronyms that we use and the complexity of what we do in GNSO makes it unapproachable to a new entrant. And therefore, we might need indoctrination and onboarding and training and educational resources. So when we dive into the effectiveness of an ACNSO's outreach, we ought to look at its results in a statistical way. And then, if that's not a perfectly represented global stakeholder group, then look at the level of effort and try to assess how we can make that effort better. And I'll close by suggesting that that would be one area where I would turn to the other ACs and SOs. ALAC seems to have a very effective regional structure, and ask whether parts of that can be imported to something like GNSO. We might even use regional structures to increase the effectiveness of our outreach. I would hate to wait until the annual Mutual Accountability Roundtable to learn about best practices, and I wouldn't wait. If it looked like our level of effort wasn't working, I'd reach out to the ALAC right away and ask for advice on whether a regional structure would help the outreach in GNSO. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. Carlos, you can
I think Steve is the designer of these things. The whole idea of accountability mutual coming from him. He was working on one of the element of the AOC which refers to the effectiveness of GAC. And then he extended that to everything. Effectiveness is two sides. One is intra-effectiveness, the other is inter-effectiveness. If we take GNSO, intra-effectiveness is the effectiveness of one house with respect to the effectiveness of other house. Who is going to judge that? If the contracting members going to examine the effectiveness of non-contracting members, and if they found that they are not effective, what they can do? Can they escalate that and bring it to the IRP, which is such a very complex issue that Becky is discussing still, and implementation and so on and so forth. Do we need such a complexity or inter-effectiveness that GAC judge whether GNSO is effective or not? How we could do that? Some of the area of the work of the GNSO is so specific that it's difficult for any other ACSO to go to the details and make any judgment that whether they are effective, because there are certain circumstances, certain conditions. Doesn't give rise to any difficulty? Would it be an effective? Why we need to push the finger on the effectiveness of things? Let us have the exchange of views to a round table and find informally to see whether there are some shortcomings, some missing, or some area of improvement, and try to raise it appropriately, but not have. It doesn't get anywhere. This would be another bylaw and another IRP and so on and so forth, and may destabilize the whole process, that someone trying to judge the other one, saying that you are not effective, then putting the dispute why you don't have that knowledge to say I am not effective, I don't have that knowledge that allow you. What are these things? Please, Steve, be a little bit frankly and a little bit practical. It doesn't work, this effectiveness. That was between NTIA and ICANN when they put effectiveness of GAC. They wanted to know whether GAC is effective or not effective. But we have now extended to everybody. This doesn't work. Just doesn't work. Thank you.
Darcy?
Yes, Steve, go ahead.
Hey, everyone. I put into the chat something to clarify. Caboose was thinking of the word effectiveness that was in the Affirmation of Commitments, which was signed in 2009. And one of the things it looked at was the effectiveness of the GACS interaction with the rest of ICANN. And that word was there in the affirmation, and it's still there today. Completely apart from that, Caboose, the bylaws for over, I guess for over 15 years, have required periodic organizational reviews of each SNOAC except GAC. So this is not about GAC yet, but in the bylaws, it is long called for organizational reviews, and when they occur, they look at two things. Whether any change in structure or operations, look in the chat, and of course this is in the document that I prepared and circulated this week. We're supposed to look at whether any change in structure or operations is desirable to improve its effectiveness. Been in the bylaws for 13 years. And three, whether that organization, council, or AC is accountable to its constituencies, stakeholder groups, and organizations. That's the internal accountability to the target group. So this is what Rinaldi was talking about, is that we have among our charter to understand what the bylaws already require in terms of organizational reviews, and they don't apply to the GAC yet. Jordan Carter asks the question, surely they should. If Robin Gross was on the phone, she would be the first one to say that it was something she wanted to have done 2.5 years ago, is to add an organizational review of the GAC. That didn't emerge from the CCWG recommendations. We can resurface that here. But Caboose, please don't misunderstand. The word effectiveness is in the bylaws and has been for over a decade, and that is why it is on the table for us to decide whether the word effectiveness bears some explanation or whether we should explore how to make that mean something. Because if we don't do anything with the word effectiveness, then it'll mean whatever the consultant wants it to mean. And I say consultant because ICANN typically hires an outside consulting group to perform these organizational reviews. And I don't know that ICANN has ever tried to explain to them what effectiveness is supposed to be. And if they don't know what effectiveness is supposed to be, I don't know how their reviews make any sense at all.
Thank you, Steve. Okay, so I think we are, we have around 8 minutes left. Alan, please take.
Thank you. I think Steve's last comments bear a fair amount of thinking. I've looked at a fair number of the past reviews of ACs and SOs, and I don't think in general they do look at what we're talking about today, about effectiveness in how they are account, how they are representing the groups that they are supposed to be representing. Moreover, it's a really difficult job because I don't know what the metrics are. Steve made reference to the fact that ALAC is successful and it has its regional organization, and we do have a very strong regional organization. How well these people are actually embedded in our process and participate in our process is a different question. Let's face it, ICANN is doing a bunch of arcane things, and to the vast majority of people in the world, yes, it may ultimately impact them, but through a set of processes which they're never going to really focus on and understand. So it's fine to say how well does the intellectual property constituency represent all intellectual property lawyers, but the vast majority of them are never going to want to be involved. And somehow we're going to have to factor in that kind of thing when we're trying to measure effectiveness and how well we are doing and representing the constituencies that we say we do. I don't have any of the answers for this, but I know it's a really difficult problem because it's one that certainly within at large we're fighting with all the time. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. Okay, so with that, if there are no other comments, I'm going to finish the meeting, and what we are going to do is we will make, I can see interest, messages from Tom Dale, GAC Secretary, about what sort of mechanisms GAC has for accountability. And so we will take note of these, so we will take a note of these comments and the discussion that we had today. And we will make sort of like four tracks. We have the mutual accountability roundtable. I know that some have a problem with the name, so we will take into account. I will definitely do that, Klaus. So we will take into account the comments that you made about the name. And any other comments, we have gathered extensively on that issue. Then there are two other things that we have to work on, which is one is the internal SOAC accountability mechanism that we have to work on, and the other thing is the independent panel review and discussing whether SONACs should be subjected to them. So with that, if there are no other comments, I'm going to, we can finish the call. Okay, I don't see any other comments. Yes, definitely, Kavus, we will post your comments. Thank you very much. Bye, everyone.